Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Winchester Theatre Royal. Please welcome a man who first appeared on this stage in 1987. He must have been a baby. He must have been. It's Richard Herring! Must have been a baby. 1987. Fucking hell. Welcome. It's lovely to be here back in Winchester. Thank you very much for having me. What a fantastic venue. I've been here many times since 1987. Oxford Review, you were there. You were. First ever autograph I ever gave was to you. Yeah. Worth less now than it was in 1987. Welcome to Richard Herring's latest Shout Out on TV podcast. That's right. This podcast was an answer on Only Connect. They took all the vowels out of the long name, and no one got it. No one got it. I mean, if the nerds on Only Connect don't know what this is, what chance do I have, Winchester? Though I was talking to Kevin from Eggheads the other day. He was eating alone in Pizza Express with a big book of facts. That's true. I saw him. It was quite a long time ago. Hope if you're in, hello, Kev. I asked him what cool kids call it, and he said it was rehearsal. So that's it. He knows the answer to everything. He'd have got Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast without the vowels in it. Definitely. Did you get it? Yeah, well done, mate. You're wearing a T-shirt with It'd be bad if you didn't get it. That would be bad. No, it's been very exciting times. Love to be in Winchester. I'm guessing Winchester is slightly jealous that those Polonium guys went for Salisbury. That's my. He's slightly annoyed. You've got a great cathedral here. Yeah? It would have been great PR for you guys. Hey, Salisbury wins again. I want to talk to. I've got some big news. I looked up the Winchester news. Got it here. The latest news in Winchester, as we record, will be old news by the time this goes out. Evacuation at Winchester Sports Centre after water leak.
now reopened. That's the big news! Winchester Sports and Leisure Centre. I'm going to read her the whole thing out because it's priceless. Winchester Sports and Leisure Centre's reopened after a 5-hour closure. Headline news. It was evacuated around 8:55 a.m. with around 200 people, customers and staff evacuating the building. Alison Lewis, are you in? No, unlikely. We're pleased to confirm that Winchester Sport and Leisure Park is open again after a brief closure this morning. Swimming lessons scheduled to take place this afternoon will continue as planned. We apologise for the inconvenience. Firefighters from Winchester investigated the problem, spending around 45 minutes at the centre. I would say you don't want firefighters when the problem is a swimming pool. That is fighting water with water. That is no good. You need a water engine which is full of fire, I guess. Don't send the fire brigade to the swimming pool. There's water there. Just do it yourself. Anyway, look, Windrest has probably been in the news. It was in the Daily Telegraph that they were asking who's in the mortuary caskets. Is that what they're called in the cathedral? They've got Leicester's made a big deal about having Richard III. They found his bones. They belong to York, I have to tell you that. So I'm originally from York, so I'm furious about that. You guys got quite a lot of king's bones just in a big pile in a box. You're not sure. King Canute might be in there. King Alfred's dad might be in there. William II, good king, he's in there. No one knows for sure. All just chucked together in a box. Dan, you're going to regret it again. Salisbury and Leicester fucked you over again. So there we go. You're in a lot of trouble. But I'm angry, and we'll get to that if you come to next week's show. I'm very angry about your associations with royalty in this place because you don't deserve them. I'll say this next week as well. I will be in the foyer after the show. I'm very happy to say hello and do selfies and do autographs and that sort of stuff. You can see you got them every single year I've been here just as I decline. It'd be like Guy Fawkes. Have you ever seen Guy Fawkes' autograph before and after? That's just what the years do to you. There's some free programmes in the foyer if you want a programme from the show. You're welcome to make a cash donation to Scope. There's a bucket there, but you do not have to do so. Do help yourself to a programme, and I'll tell you what I'm selling next week. I think we can crack on. We've got a fantastic show for you today. My only guest this week is probably best known for her portrayal as a waitress in Dr. Foster. That's why we've all come here. Remember the waitress from Dr. Foster? Will you please welcome the amazing Harriet Kemsley, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is, the waitress. Hello, come in, sit down. Sit down, you've got your own sofa. We've got fine sofas. Pick up that microphone and use it like you would a microphone. That's what Hello. I would say. I should have said that before you came on. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. All right, thank you.
I'm very glad to have you here. I'm a huge fan, and you're a very funny woman. Tell us about Dr. Foster. And that might use up the whole hour, I'm guessing.
Well, the highlight of my life. It was quite stressful because I just had to be a waitress that came in and disturbed them, but I don't know if people have seen Dr. Foster. It's very tense, and it's, very serious acting, and they really were in it. But then I had to walk across the restaurant, and I'm not very good at timing. And so they'd be in the middle of this very serious argument, and then I'd be like, oop. And the director would be like, no, Harriet, you have to do it again. And then I'd have to walk all the way back, and then they'd have to do it again. And it was painful.
Wow. So it's sort of Julie Walters in Acorn Antiques we're talking.
Yeah, in a serious BBC drama. Yeah.
Did you make the final cut? Was there a good take?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. Because you are clumsy, but you have a reason to be clumsy.
Yes, there's a medical reason. Yeah. Yes, dyspraxia, so we could just blame it all on that. Yeah,
okay. We may talk about that. In your Instagram bio, I think it says, which was the interesting fact you've made about yourself, is that you were concussed 3 times before the age of 10, which, again, could be a terrible story of awful abuse. I'm hoping it's not. But How did you get concussed?
I think it's just falling over a lot. It's right. Just being somebody that that just struggles with basic tasks. I think yes, less abuse, more idiocy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Concussed though is pretty full on, and three times there must have been a raised eyebrows. We had taken my son in a couple of times in a week, and we thought they're going to get us arrested.
I don't know.
And he was conscious, is what I'm saying. You know, he wasn't.
I think they just took one look at me and they were like, "Makes sense." One was we were going swimming. We're going to like a swimming pool with the class, and
Don't mention that in front of the people at Winchester. They had they had 5 hours. Sorry. They couldn't go swimming, and you're bringing that up.
You're terrible.
The Salisbury
situation
wasn't bad enough. No swimming.
No, thanks for coming out despite everything. it's really brave, guys. I got really overexcited and it's really embarrassing, and then just ran and then just fell on my head. And so then I had to spend a night in hospital that time. Another one was just the classic, like, fall down the stairs, but I fell around a corner as well, which right. is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the other one.
By the third time. So, like, you've banged on the head, you forget. You banged on the head, you remember. But you should have forgotten. Yeah, third one, you forget. So every time you bang your head, you forget, and then you remember, and then you forget. So you need to be banged on the head again.
Yes.
And then you'll remember the third one.
Yes. Yep.
It's good to see. That's the rule, right? Being banged on the head. No? Okay. People in Winchester aren't aware of that. The law of slapstick. It's interesting that running in the swimming pool, it turns out to be a bad idea, because they do warn you about that.
Yes, so they do. This was actually outside the swimming pool, so it wasn't even, there wasn't even any signs or anything, because, they don't usually warn people against just running on the ground. But I need it.
Yeah. But, dyspraxia is like a... I mean, it's funny when people fall over and are clumsy, but it is like it's a serious thing. Like, how did you find out that you had an excuse for your clumsiness?
It's been a harrowing journey. I was having dinner with my family, and my sister was like, "Harriet, I was watching Embarrassing Bodies last night, and I think you might have the same thing as the woman on it." I was like, "That is not a sentence you ever want to hear." She was like, "There's this test you can do, and you just had to, I can't even do it now. You had to like just clap like this, but like different sides, and you just do that, and then it speeds up." And I did it, and I knocked over a glass and a plate.
Right.
And they were like, "I think you got it." So then I read a book about it, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's me." And then I got tested.
Yeah. I mean, so that's, at the moment, it seems like comedians, they're all finding they've got like either neurological problems.
Oh, everyone wants a thing. Yeah, so it's just my thing. Yeah.
So, it's good. Not many have got dyspraxia. I mean, some have, but not as dyspraxia.
Yeah, we're a smaller group. Yeah. The big thing's ADHD at the moment. That's the cool thing to have. I don't know if we've got any in.
But you can go on the poster of dyspraxia, and
yes.
And I've seen you being interviewed by people, and, it is kind of nice for people to have, somebody well-known who symbolises that.
Yes, well, I did the dyspraxia conference. We have a conference.
Right.
And it was in Birmingham, which is the worst place to have it, because I got lost trying to get out of the station. I don't know if anyone has ever been to Birmingham train station, but... chaos. And then I turned up and it was so lovely. It was like just a bunch of morons all in one place. It was lovely.
Oh, that's nice. I'm trying to get the same thing for one bald men together. I've only got one ball, Harry. I didn't tell you backstage.
Oh, I thought you said bald, and I was like, "You have lovely hair. That's just showing off." That would be
for bald men.
Very mean.
Yeah, but I might be bald one day. If there are any one bald guys out there, let's come on, let's be proud of who we are.
Will you check, or you'll just take their word?
Good question. I think we'll have to have the Pope. You know, there was once a female Pope, Pope Joan. It's apocryphal. So the story is, I know a lot about testicles. Don't get me started about testicles. It was, to be fair, me. They had a chair with a hole in it that the Pope would have to sit in.
Oh, I've heard and this
then,
story. Yes.
And then someone would have a feel to check there were testicles there.
So that's what you're doing.
Because that, well, medieval Italy, that does not prove someone is a man, does it? So, yeah.
And that's what you're doing in your club.
Yeah, I'll go and have a feel. If I feel more than... Yeah. But you say some men have more than two balls. So do I allow in people who've lost a ball, who had three balls to begin with, which some people do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, am I allowed to let them in if they've lost one ball, or do they have to lose two to be in the club? I think they have to lose two.
What if they've gained a ball?
Yeah. But that's they have to definitely be in a different club.
There's
a different club.
What if they have one tiny ball?
Well,
you
it's
haven't
one
thought
ball.
About this very
if it's
well.
One, I haven't. I've just come up with the idea, having heard you. Is your microphone working? It was gone.
I think it stopped working, but I was trying to style it out. But yeah. It's hard to do that.
It's you know, backstage when we're doing the mic check, George, the incompetent sound man, said, "I'm not going to plug in the spare mic. We never ever need it, but I'll get it ready to be put there." And I think I can hear him rattling around back there now.
Is it what that's working? Is that working? No. I can't.
Luckily,
tell
it was mainly me talking, which, you know, some people don't like, but I think this whole podcast could now just turn into, I mean, you can hear her here, but the people at home won't be able to hear a word she says. I'll just do her. "Yes, Richard, you were a real influence on my comedy, and I grew up, even though I was born the same year you first came to this theatre, I've been..." Let's see, I'm doing you. What do you think? I mean, I think people at home won't be able to tell. That they'll go, "Oh, well, how's Harriet talking to herself?" We're cutting the podcast for 1 minute while we sort this out. You know, that, fuck them. We had a few technical difficulties. I hope we got the bit in calling George incompetent. He's not very well today. And he's come all the way to Winchester and good. Going to take the piss out of him. Now, what I'm surprised, a thing that has happened to you that I don't think has happened to any other comedian in the way that you started being a comedian was your parents suggesting you should be a comedian, which is the sort of opposite of what everyone else experiences.
I haven't met anyone else. They were like, "We can't think of anything else she could do. She's going to have to do this." They were watching Live at the Apollo one night and then they suggested that I went out and I did it. And I was like, "That's mad." Like, I didn't know anything about stand-up or anything. And then they're like, "No, you should. Like, stupid things happen to you and it's funny and you should go do it." And then I did.
I mean, is that a compliment or not? I mean, is that...
absolutely. Every other parent has much higher expectations for their children. Yeah.
I don't know,
you should be a doctor. No. Just tell a little story.
It's also quite a diss on Live at the Apollo, isn't it? Because it's like going, "Yeah, our daughter could probably do that."
Though,
to be fair, that's what most parents, when you become a comedian, will ring you up and go, "Have you thought about being on Peter Kay's Phoenix Nights or whatever?" You go, "Yeah, I don't think that's how it works." "You should get on. You should get on that. Go and be up there." "Yeah, I don't think that's how it works." I've never done Live at the Apollo, but you have subsequently done Live at the Apollo, so it's gone full circle.
Yeah, it felt like a very nice moment. Yeah, and so I did it, and that felt like, okay, I'm done, I guess.
So your parents were right; they were like Nostradamuses, dual fucking Nostradamuses that were fucking two Nostradamuses that were fucking each other. Your parents are fucking, I hope, we're fucking each other.
Please. No, they're very happy still, but I don't want to think about it too much.
I know, but I thought I'd put it in your mind.
It is crazy. I mean, it's very lucky. They were really clutching at straws, and I think they regret it now. But it's too late. There's nothing else I can... My CV's been dead for too long.
What were you doing before they suggested you become a comedian?
So I wanted to do, like, serious acting.
Right.
But to be fair, nobody took it seriously and they'd just laugh. And so that should have been a sign. And so I left university and then I didn't know what to do. And so I did... I had this job where I had to be at my desk at 6 a.m. and like type up the news.
Right.
And so I was just listening to these like horrific news stories like all through the day. And then I started gigging and then I wouldn't be able to sleep because of that. And so I was just getting no sleep and I was like wandering around the office just like repeating my set to myself because I'd be so nervous and like worked up. And I didn't tell anyone for ages because I was so embarrassed that I thought that I was funny. And then 6 months into the job, I told people and they were like, "Thank God, we thought you had a really bad drug problem." Like, just going to the toilet all the time, just like talking to yourself. Yeah.
Oh dear, fantastic. I think the first time I saw you, and again this put a lot of images in my mind unfortunately, was you were, because I did Roast Battle and I watched a lot of Roast Battle to see when I was going to do that, and you did Roast Battle.
Yes.
And It was very funny, and it's a good show battling against other people.
Yeah, I think it's really nice when there's like love there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did it with my husband, and there was it's fun. I couldn't have done it with like a genuine like enemy.
Yes.
And you could say your husband's your enemy at points. but I could. I think that sometimes when you watch those ones, like it feels bad. But yeah, it was fun. Who did you do it with?
I did it with Sarah Baron.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, I did see it. Yeah.
She was good fun. Who I know, I'm friends with. So it was fine. And it's, you know, I think if you're both up for whatever, whatever's going to come, it's sort of a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, it's sort of weird when those things... I mean, I suppose in being in a couple, things came out that, you know, literally only a partner would know about the other person.
Yeah, I guess Sarah didn't know, like, really intimate things about you, like how hairy you are down below, which maybe came out in mine.
Yeah.
which you were lucky.
Although we did, she actually told me that she had an unusually long cervix. So, you know, I ran with that. I was unaware, but...
How does she know that?
How does she know? How does she know she's got... Well, like, you know, she's
Oh, flapping. She told you that she had
she
one.
She had, yeah. Okay. Yeah, not that I had one. Not that you had one.
I got really confused.
She didn't say, yeah, Harriet Kelmsey's
okay,
got
yeah. No, I thought you were saying you did. Yeah.
No, I don't have a cervix at all. Okay. Just because I've only got one testicle doesn't mean I'm started growing. It's not how it works. I'm not
a scientist,
I'm not like
okay.
some kind of newt. In dangerous times where I can't breed, breeding with myself.
That's such a horrible image.
Well, you know, it's how I spent most of my life, to be fair, breeding with myself. Occasionally lucky to find someone else to have a go, take the pressure off. Oh, dear. I've heard a lot about your childhood. You're quite allergic. You're allergic to lots of things as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. If you were born at any other time than the late 1980s, you would definitely be dead now.
This is it, yeah. If there's any kind of, like, a further pandemic or something, I think it's fair just to shoot me at the beginning. I'm not getting through it. Yeah, I'm allergic to raw fruit, raw vegetables and nuts. And I'm vegetarian. That's a choice. A bad choice, you could say, considering.
What's left for you without the fruit, the vegetable, and the nuts?
A lot of pizza.
Right. Okay.
Breakfast,
there is
lunch,
vegetable.
Dinner,
oh, it has
cooked.
To be...
Yeah, if it's cooked, it's fine.
Oh, okay, if it's cooked. It's
yeah,
fine. You can eat cooked vegetables.
Yeah,
cooked fruit.
Yeah, cooked fruit is fine. But yeah, it's just.
What's that about? I've never heard that before. Like raw.
It's on the rise. You've got to be careful.
It?
Yeah, it's my skin is allergic,
right.
And so I like my insides aren't. But I get so I had to go and get tested on the NHS. And so what they do, like it is a bit of an old system. They make you go and buy loads of fruit and vegetables, and you bring it in a bag, and then they just cut it up and put it on your skin, and they're like. Oh, that's a beak hive. Yeah. Then they go, oh, that was an apple.
Are you sure this is the NHS? I don't think you have to buy your own fucking fruit. That's you have to buy your own fruit. Come in, I'm going to rub it on you. See what happens. I haven't got an official sign outside. It's just, I'm doing it in the front room just for now.
Yeah. It's a clinic in Hackney, I don't know.
Okay.
Yes, and then they were like, well, yeah, you're allergic. But I knew that, so it didn't really necessarily help. But yeah, I think the problem is I keep thinking it's got better and I have to stop saying that because then bad things happen. But I think it is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who was it? I feel like it was Milo McCabe. Somebody told me that they... No, it wasn't Milo. James Redmond. Some comedian told me that they cured it by stopping drinking milk.
Right.
And so I did that for a week and I was like, I think I'm cured. And then I went into anaphylactic shock. So you must never trust a comedian. And that's what that means.
Yeah, I mean, I think a comedian saying you can cure your allergy to raw vegetables by giving up milk.
Yeah.
They're like, not connected. Those are two different things.
Yeah.
I mean, cow ate some vegetables. There's some vegetables in the milk somewhere, I suppose.
Yes.
But yeah, okay.
Yes.
Anything else you're allergic to?
Grass, dogs. I have a dog, so I can have the like the ones that they've bred like really badly. So I've got one of those cats, horses.
Wow.
Just anything you could be allergic to. Fake tan. I'm allergic to fake tan.
And you have to have, like, because my niece is allergic to nuts, just nuts, like a normal person would be.
Yeah.
So do you have if you're going into shock, you must have a pen.
Yes, I have an EpiPen, yeah, right. But I have accidentally stabbed myself with it. And it's quite a rush, I'll tell you. Because you just have it in this case, and then I don't know, it got through the case, and then I had it in my backpack, and it just stabbed me in the back. Yeah. And I was at work, so I had to pretend that I wasn't going through an anaphylactic shock, so I was working at this theatre in this office, and I kept going like, because I was going through the adrenaline, not the anaphylactic shock, the adrenaline. And then once it happened, and then my husband was with me, and I had an allergic reaction, and he had to go get the EpiPen and went to stab me, and he accidentally stabbed me. He accidentally stabbed himself in the thumb because he got the wrong end. And
to be fair, it's the perfect murder.
Yes. The paramedics ripped the shit out of him and deservedly. And he was like, my thumb actually does really hurt. Yeah.
I mean, having dyspraxia and this that's a dangerous combination, isn't it?
It's chaos.
They've got to come up with some system for dyspraxia people who are allergic.
Yes, they must.
Because you shouldn't be messing around with needles.
No. And the thing is, as well, when you tell people, they all just say that they go, "Oh, you stab it in the butt," and it's like, I don't know where that's come from.
No.
It's like some kind of myth, but it's not. It's the leg.
The leg.
Yeah,
because there's a problem when
people think heart as well because of Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. So people are going to smash it into people's chests.
Yeah, that would be bad. Yeah.
Okay, so don't do that. It's a public service announcement.
Don't do that. Please don't.
That also, don't stab yourself with the needle if you're doing it to someone else. That's the other rule. Right, I'm going to ask you an emergency question. This is available from the foyer after the show. Emergency.
Do you write all these books?
I do. Right, I'm amazing, aren't I?
I haven't read them, so I can't say.
There's DVDs there as well. I mean, what's the point? I mean, you've probably never even heard of a DVD.
No, they're back. They're back. Are apparently they? DVDs. Yeah, okay, people are collecting them.
Tell my fucking audience. Lucky if I sell one of those at a gig, but books. Books are good to sell. So write some. Have you written a book? No.
No.
Write a book.
Yeah.
Write a book about dyspraxia there, you bang, you're off.
Yeah.
Allergies.
I don't know if they intertwine much.
No.
It would be quite specific to find the allergic dyspraxic.
I mean, but wow, if you are an allergic dyspraxic, you're buying that book. Yeah, so that is a definite
Yeah.
Anyone who's got one ball is going to buy my one ball book.
How many people have one ball?
Well, on average, nearly everyone. one in 271 men get testicular cancer. I think it's something like that. I don't know if it's 271, but it's like quite. I don't know. Do you think that's a lot or a little? I thought that's quite a rare cancer. Like one in eight men get prostate cancer. One in 271 men get testicular cancer. So it's a pretty rare cancer. But there's, you know, if this theatre was full, there'd be one other guy.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I think one in three is chlamydia.
Right.
So that is high.
Yeah. What's...
Because we've got maybe 100 sufferers in at the moment. Yeah.
What's the odds of... I've had chlamydia and testicular cancer. What are the odds of... Yeah. I haven't got it now. I'm clear now. I haven't got either of them now, actually.
Yeah.
So that's good. Anyway, we're going to ask you... it's the perfect Christmas gift. I'm just going in random, and we're going to see what we come up with. There might be some Winchester crossover in this. What's the strangest statue you've ever seen? Are you observing in Winchester? They had a statue of Greta Thunberg, but they had to take it away and hide it from the furious. It's like the reverse. It's like the reverse Bristol. It's like the unwoke Bristol here. If you put a statue of Greta Thunberg up, they try and chuck it in the sea.
Is that serious?
Yeah.
Was it made of recycled plastic? That's so bad if it's just like, what was it made of? The
I don't know. I was just told that the tech before the show told me it was cost 20 grand. What was it made of?
Bronze.
Wow, bronze. Fucking hell.
And you got rid of it.
Yeah, they've had to hide it from the furious...
Well, Winchester...
Furious people of Winchester.
I hope you sink first.
Have you got any... there was a statue in Hammersmith. When I sat in the roundabout in Hammersmith when I lived there, if you sat in Starbucks and looked out, there was a man leaning over and it really looked like he was doing a shit. But it was actually his testicles, weirdly enough. There was a naked man and but it just looked like he was... Because he was standing like this. And it just looked... If you looked at it from a certain angle, it just looked like poo was coming out of his bum.
Who was it?
I don't think it was Eddie. I don't think it was... It wasn't like Greta Thunberg. Let's do Greta Thunberg. But she's doing a shit. The people of Winchester would have loved
that.
It.
Yeah, we'll see that one.
She's shitting on... She's shitting on our dream hopes and dreams. Would you accept that if we get the Greta Thunberg shitting... No, we don't want to hear. Not even shit. Someone shitting on Greta Thunberg. How about that?
So
how about Piers Morgan shitting on Greta Thunberg?
Oh, my God.
She's like...
Where is she now?
Exactly, where is she?
No, she's... the statue.
Oh, the statue. that's showbiz. I think they hid it in the college somewhere, right? The students put it up. Look at this audience. Look at them. It's where... It's in the university. That's what I said. That's what the students.
Yeah, the students were like that. Yeah.
You ever seen an unusual statue? I've given you a few there.
I know.
I've given some great answers to my own question.
I was trying to think of a statue. The Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Seen that? The Eiffel. I was going to say statue, but tower.
It's kind of a statue.
It's a really big one. Yeah, but I guess they're not. There's nothing really much to say about them. They're quite well loved.
Do you travel a lot when you're going? They're not very interesting statues.
Yeah.
Like, I'll ask you this instead, which is sort of a segue away, a tangent from it. But if all the art galleries and museums in the world got together and said, "We love Harriet's comedy. We're going to let her take one thing home from any museum or art gallery in the world." Is there anything you would like to own?
The gift shop.
That is the best bit.
Yeah, that's what I'd take.
But do you want multiple copies of everything? Is that what you'd like? Or would you just set up shop there and sell things?
Well, yeah, I guess I'd be the Richard Herring of... I'd just sell gifts like that.
Yeah,
okay. like you look like a one-man gift shop
I do, yeah.
Or your wares, I'd say.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, I guess I'd only need one of everything. But it'd be nice to browse now and again, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's sort of... I do like going to gift shops. So when you've got a young kid, but they're probably too young to... Young daughter to be interested. But once you get that, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Museums, they trick you in there.
Yeah.
It's always shit. It's just a load of old paintings and stuff and rubbish things they found in the ground.
I think I
and
still
then, and
I
then
still
you come
like
out
them,
and you have to buy some postcards and a poster and key rings.
But the problem is I'm still on that level.
Yeah.
So me and her are just going to be buying loads of key rings.
Yeah.
Who's going to stop us?
It's good. It is fun.
Yeah.
Fridge magnets.
Yeah. Well, I don't actually care about fridge magnets, okay, no. I guess.
What would you... what would be your... This is a new emergency question. If you're going to a gift shop, what would be the first thing you would be thinking about buying from a gift shop?
Probably a drink. You're probably tired after you've had to wander around the gift shop. You know, if they have like a...
Some cans.
A nice couple of cans. Yeah. Yes,
so, you know, not only do you not like... Not only do you not like museums or art galleries and not interested in owning any art... You're not even interested in owning anything related to the museum. What you're saying is I'd like a can of Coke. If it was a can of Coke, would you have Diet Coke or
Cherry Coke? Yeah, have a Coke Zero. Yeah.
That's for men, you're not allowed to have that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, is it really?
Yeah.
Still?
My wife does a routine about how Diet Coke and Coke Zero are the same thing.
No, it's slightly different.
It's slightly different, but it's basically the same thing, but they've made it for men because men were too scared to ask for the looking... weak if they ask for Diet Coke. You're absolutely pathetic.
How sad is that they have to think about that?
It is just, well, we're a weak species and a pathetic species. And we try and get... We make sure statues of Greta Thunberg get hidden away. That's because it challenges our masculinity.
Hold up.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good. I'll ask you one of the early emergency, one of the popular emergency questions from the early days. I go right back to, if you're following at home, I can give you the number to join in with the book. The first one I saw is 13. I don't think I've asked many people this question. Mm-hmm. What age were you breastfed until? Fucking hell. Question 13? I mean, if that was question 495, you go, yeah, fair enough. You'd run out of ideas, right?
What is 13. The point of this book?
What is the point?
Who are you asking these questions
Should
to?
Should we write, that would be a good question, 1002. What is the point of this book? I'm going to put that on the fucking cover of the next edition. It's a good question. It's a conversation starter, if people have seen an
no
unusual...
No one wants to hang out with anyone after they've asked that question. That's a terrible
but if
conversation
they do, it was
starter.
A bad question. I've just, you know, you've fallen on bad ones. All right, here's
you asked it. You read
here's,
it.
Here's
you
a good
this
one.
Is the
here's
one
a good
ask.
Question. Have you ever seen a ghost? Question 3.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. I
this
haven't.
Whole, all this audience died 10 years ago. We're in an empty theater. Explains why a lot of the topical references have gone over their heads.
I haven't seen
no.
a ghost. I would like to. I've definitely been, like, unsettled or heard a noise.
Right.
But
yeah, I mean, I've heard. I've heard a noise. I don't think that's. I mean, even you know, even if you can't see where the noise have come from, I don't think it's necessarily the undead.
Yes. Often, you can never be sure.
You never be quite
you never
sure.
know for sure.
No ghost.
But now, have you seen a ghost?
No, but I live in an old house, and there's definitely some spooky shit going on. I've said this a lot, but I saw the ghost of my own son.
You just said you haven't seen a ghost.
But he's not dead, so he can't be. And he wasn't dead, but I genuinely thought he must be dead because it was so lifelike. I was in bed asleep, obviously. But he came in and he stood facing the wall like in the Blair Witch Project or something. So it was really weird. And I was going, Ernie, what are you doing? And he just stood and he didn't say anything. And I my mental neurological problem is that I can't imagine things in my... I can't, like, see visual images.
You have is it called...
Aphantasia.
Aphantasia. My friend thought he had that, and then he didn't.
Then he realised he didn't. Oh, yeah.
3 years talking to him about it, and then he was like, I can picture my mum.
That's not very... It's just people... I started doing it and then people thought, let's be cool, like Rich. But, yeah. As I reached out to my son, did that, and my arm went right through him.
Wait, what?
It was like literally... And I, you know, and then I didn't wake up and then he disappeared. And then I went next door to check that he wasn't dead. And as far as I know, he wasn't. I mean, he is like possessed by a devil, possibly. He's a right fucking menace. But...
Wait,
but,
you were asleep or you were awake?
Well, I didn't, you know, I don't remember waking up and I just got, I did that, it disappeared and then I got up. So I was asleep, I think, is probably the scientific answer to this question. I was in bed, but it was really like he'd woken me up and I was a bit annoyed and then I reached
Who out. Lived in the house before you?
Well, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot of, it used to be a hospital. It used to
For
be
young
a youth
boys.
Hostel. It used to be, I mean, we used to hear a baby crying at night. And we'd go in and both our kids would be asleep.
I hate this.
And we both heard this. the crying. But you know, it's just something coming down the chimney. It's just a dead baby coming down the chimney. yeah, but you know, I don't believe in ghosts though, but I'd like to believe.
But you literally have evidence?
I don't. It's not evidence. Not very good evidence.
Hearing a cry when there's nothing there, what does that mean otherwise? It's not your ringtone. If it is, you need to get a ringtone.
But, you know, you can misinterpret sounds. You know, I've heard sounds. You can misinterpret them. And you can imagine things. And also, like, when it doesn't happen anymore, when we are both really tired. You know, we both sort of, and when you've got a baby and you're really tired, you're listening out so intently that you think you hear them.
I think you're trying to justify this because you're scared, and you have to go home and sleep in that bed.
I'd move out the house. Well, if I'm scared, actually, we are thinking of moving. So yeah, it's if anyone wants to buy a haunted house in Hertfordshire, do let us know. It is very nice. That apart from that. Look, we'll carry. We'll come back to some emergency questions later. Hey, I was listening to your podcast on the way here. I don't think you do it anymore, do you? It's a really good podcast.
It was very fun. It was just, we just weren't very business minded. We did it for like 4 years. And then when we finished, we realized we'd accidentally listed it under arts and culture. it was obviously a comedy podcast, but it was very fun. Yeah, it was called Why Is Harriet Crying? And it was a different reason every fortnight. I did it with, do you know Sunil?
I do, yes.
You had Sunil on? Sunil Patel, he's very funny. And he's very unemotional and hasn't cried since he tripped over a dog when he was 8.
Right.
So.
Was he crying for himself or for the dog?
He said it was just, he was startled.
Right. So you ask people, I listened to one, just the first one that came up, and it happened to be... You just dropped your phone in a canal.
Oh, God, yes.
And it was a very good episode, and you were upset about that. But it's because you asked the guest when's the last time that Stuart Laws.
Yes.
He's great, and actually, we must get him on this very soon. He's got some fantastic specials online you can watch. He wears a gilet. That's his gimmick.
He does, yeah.
That's his gimmick. But I think it's a great question to ask about when the last time you ask everyone when the last time they cried was.
Yeah, it was like funny reasons though. Yeah. We didn't want to be like, when did you last cry? And then they were like saying something really traumatic.
Yeah. Last time I cried is when I found out I had testicular cancer.
Yes, exactly. and we wouldn't want you on with your downer
news. My kids are next door,
and
I thought they're going to grow up without a dad. Would that have worked for you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
if we bring it back, you can't come on. No, it was more just like crying at a film, that kind of thing.
I do that a lot, though. I think it's interesting, but I think it's also interesting to ask guys about it just for that exact reason.
It seemed like it was a release that the only way they can cry is watching a film.
Yeah.
Like they just have to store it all up and then like desperately hope that Star Wars is a bit sad, then get away with it. that's all they have.
Yeah. It is, you know, men need a lot of help.
I think, something's going on. Yeah, something's up. I don't know what it is, guys, but I think crying is very healthy. Like, I've learned all these things about how you release these chemicals and stuff when you cry that are very, very healthy. I mean, that's not the scientific explanation, but I can't remember at the moment. It's actually very good for you. But it was more just kind of like when you do it and it's really embarrassing when you just... Because you probably never had that. I think it's stamped out of you when you're very young.
You know, you are... And especially, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And yeah, I think I was quite a cryy kid, to be fair, and I think I did sort of cry even as a teenager.
Maybe you're hearing yourself.
Yeah, you think in the house.
Yes.
Could be the ghost of myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do you think everyone
in my family is a ghost, including me? I think that's more likely. When you think about the chances of us being alive now in this wonderful time to be alive and this wonderful place to be alive. I mean, we're in Winchester now, but usually we're not. you know, the chances of it seem too astronomically large to be true. So I think we're probably in a simulation or something. So that could probably be true. But it was more likely we're ghosts. I think it's more like we're just having a sort of very long dream. I'm going to wake up and we're someone else.
Who are you going to be?
I don't know. Can't wait to find out. Don't know why. It's a really boring dream. I hope he's got more interesting life than I do. I imagine he's some kind of an alien on another
planet.
But
are we all in your dream? Whose dream?
Well, you are, but you're not real.
I'm in my own dream.
Well, you would say that in the dream, but you're not.
No!
You're not real.
How do I prove to you that I'm real?
You can't.
I need to pinch you or something.
That won't work. And that'll wake me up and then that'll be the end of you. If you pinch me. You only exist in my dream. What a terrible life. I've only met you a couple of times, so that's going to be bad news.
What do I do in between? I just go in a cupboard and just sit.
Yeah.
I think the simulation thing is new, isn't it? It's like everyone's kind of talking about it a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because, yeah. But it does make some kind... It makes sense of ghosts. I think ghosts could just be, you know, someone's put a simulation together and they haven't really bothered for doing it properly, so occasionally a Roman walks through and it makes... fuck. I don't care. It's only a simulation. Okay.
You're very relaxed about the fact we're in a simulation.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to make the best of it, haven't you? It doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter if it is a simulation because we're still in it. And so we still think we're not in a simulation. So
yeah, you are.
Well, I've seen the truth that unlike everyone else, you sheeple, get real. I've seen the truth. But I'm happy to live the life because, you know, it's quite good, isn't it?
It's quite your life, but you've made bad lives for other people.
That's if it's a dream. If it's a simulation, I'm not responsible for what happens to you. good. So, look, I want to talk to you about a couple of your stand-up shows. I've seen bits and pieces of your stand-up. I've seen your Apollo set. I haven't seen one of your full shows, but they sound very good. Is Honeysuckle Island? When was Honeysuckle Island?
That was the last one.
Right.
I've now kind of made that. I've just filmed that one.
Right,
so that's
going
to... But I've renamed it, and so that's going to come out in October. But yeah, it was about... What was it about? It was about the beauty industry and having a baby and being a role model. And I found this this thing that I made at school, like a brochure, a travel brochure. And I can't even remember what the show is about. The show that you watch, it doesn't have any of this stuff in, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
It's the truth. You can't see it now, it's done. But the new one doesn't have... It's just jokes.
Okay. The show you're bringing out isn't the show that you did.
No. It's just all the best bits. It's it's just all the jokes from my kind of last two shows together.
Okay.
It's just fun and silly. It's there was like I was about to kind of talk about the message, then I was like, we don't have time. You guys have locked Greta in a cupboard. It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right.
Unless you really want to hear it.
I'd love to hear anything you've got to say. I don't care. And one Winchester
person also does. Thank you.
To hear it. But you don't have to.
It wasn't going anywhere. So I just for everyone's sake, I just stopped myself.
Okay. I mean, if I live by that rule.
No, you should learn.
Should I learn to just... I just carry on talking until they stop me.
Yeah, no, that's clear.
Yeah. and then hopefully something comes out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
What about your parents fucking dressed as Nostradamus?
For God's sake!
I didn't expect that to...
Definitely not my simulation. That is for sure.
Okay. You've been on Mastermind. How'd you get on Mastermind?
How do you think I got on?
Not very well.
It did. It went real bad.
Okay.
I studied so hard for it.
What was your sub? What was your specialist subject?
Well, this was part of the problem.
Okay.
Because I always wanted to do the American Office because I loved it. Then I was like, I can watch it every year. It was so nice. I can study it. Then my new enemy, Rhys James, did it. And so they wouldn't let me do it. So they were like, just send a list of things you could do. And so I just sent a long list. They just send a list of things you're interested in. So I just sent a list of just things I like. And they replied and they said, great, you're doing sloths.
Sloths.
And so I had to study sloths. It turns out everything I knew about them was not true. Because I was like, they're so fun, they're drunk all the time. Nope. That's not true. I heard this story about how they confuse their own arms for branches and then they fall, and I was like, that's cute. Not true. And so I had to learn everything from the beginning, and yeah. I studied so... I can't tell you how hard I studied for it, because everyone kept saying that I was letting down women when I speak on TV. And so I was like, right, I'm going to prove everybody. And I studied so hard, and then I got there. And have you done it?
Yeah.
It's like, it's quite intimidating. It's like, it's... But then I was up against... so I was up against... a few people. One of them was Gary from EastEnders, and Bobby Davro had been pranking him all night. So I was like, I've got this. So he's like, I haven't slept because Bobby Davro is pranking me. And then...
and you think we don't live in a simulation?
And then I got there, and then it suddenly got so intimidating, and it's like in this big air hangar in Belfast, and Belfast. It was very cold, and then they suddenly turn really mean, and then you sit down and they're like, it goes dark, and then that music starts, and then they're like, da 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 or whatever, and then they're like, Harriet, walk towards the chair. And so you had to say your name, your job, and the charity you were doing it for. They said, what's your name? And I said, Harriet Kemsley. And they said, what is your job? And I said, comedian. And they said, what is your charity? And I said, sloth. And they said, no, you have to go back and start again. Oh, and no. From that point, I just completely lost it.
I mean, it's pretty good to get that question wrong. Yeah. I don't think you start on minus one. I've never seen it. They should definitely institute that.
I completely destroyed all my confidence, and I was like, that is it. And then they're just like firing these general knowledge questions at you, and you don't have time to catch up. Like, my brain was just... And so at one point, I was just yelling things. I got the answer cauliflower wrong. They were like, what's the name of the famous haircut in Friends, the character? And I said, Jennifer Aniston. And so you could see where my brain was going, yeah. But then it just kept getting it wrong.
Yeah. It is weird when you sort of see that when you watch quiz shows where people lose the plot. But actually, yeah. When you get to that bit where there was one question, I just couldn't understand what the words were, and then it just kind of, it was just seemed like a load of nonsense, and then that sort of haunt, and I got it wrong, and then it just sort of haunts you. You're still thinking about, what the fuck was that question? And then there's another question.
Yeah, that's it. And then it's just he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Sorry to bring that up.
Yeah, well, thanks for that.
Have you had any? I've had some mastermind dreams. I had a dream of mastermind where the chair was in a sort of field. Ooh. So it was like, so you had to trudge through mud to get there, and it was really like knee-deep mud to get to the chair.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know...
What does that mean, do you think?
I think it probably means it. I didn't like it. And it was difficult. House of Games, was that nice, House of Games, Richie Osman?
Yes, that was nice. It's interesting, I think some things in that, like, you can really tell how people's brains work, because some of them I was quite good at, and then some of them just I couldn't get any points at all. But that one was really nice because my mum came up with my baby. And so they were really nice.
Yeah, comedians are quite good at it, generally, or like some comedians are quite good at it, because I think...
That's what they said.
But a House of Games, before it works. It's sort of almost like... because a lot of it's smashing two things together. There's one called Answer Smash, which literally is that.
Yeah.
And smashing together two things that are similar but aren't the same.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what writing a joke is, and it's very basic form, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And they said they're very good at geography. We know where everything is because we spend time in...
Yeah, I'm not, because I've got aphantasia. Thanks for bringing that up. So it's I can't picture a map or anything, so... I'm really bad. Thank God sat-navs came out, because I couldn't... I'd just get lost if I was driving before.
So what do you see?
Like, nothing.
You're just blind.
Like, I have, like,
not blindness.
If you close my eyes and try and think of something, I don't see anything. I can sort of... If I try and think of my kid's face is... they've got one each. I will get a flash of it. So I can, you know, I know what my kids look like, but it's not, I can't hold that image in my head, and it's sort of like almost like a flash there rather than a flash there. So I was never very good at navigating or doing anything in three dimensions, and I think that's why. I didn't realise until lockdown. I thought I could see stuff in my mind.
So when you read a book, you just see words.
I imagine it, but I guess I'm imagining it in a different way than you're imagining it.
But how? So how did you get tested for this?
You just try and imagine something, and if you can do it, if you can do it, you can. You haven't got aphantasia. What they it was Bethany Black fucking tweeted this thing. Thank Bethany Black. I could have lived in ignorance of this, and I'd have been. It's worse than losing a testicle by miles. This.
But I think
it's like losing everything. It's like losing, you know, I don't feel like I'm a normal human being. If they say, imagine an apple, and if you close your eyes and imagine an apple, can you see an apple? You've got aphantasia, bad luck.
Yeah, I'm allergic though, so.
Oh, yeah, don't touch it.
Get away!
I'm sorry, it was very insensitive of me.
I can see
it infect
an apple.
Your mind? Yeah. Is it in colour? Is it in three dimensions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam Buxton was telling me he can spin his round.
I was doing that. Nah, yeah, it was having a spin. You can't do that.
I can't do it. I can't
see anything. It's a mad thing to test because then the tester has to say, can you imagine this? And you say no, and then they just have to trust you.
Yeah. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing. There's no cure.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Just go bad luck.
Yeah.
Move on. Some people have got face blindness. I recognize people pretty much, but I'm not great at it, but I'm not terrible at it.
Yeah.
Whatever I've got is a different way of thinking. And that's why I'm such a phenomenal comedian, I guess. Just because I see the world in a different way, which is sort of what you really don't want as a comedian.
You just see everything in questions.
I do, yeah. Just emergency questions. Let's ask you another emergency question.
Oh, no.
You can get smaller books. There's some shared questions between these, but they're not that many.
Why did you start doing these?
Because, we did it to raise money for the podcast first, so this is one we self-published.
To raise money for the podcast?
Yeah, to make money for the podcast. Before advertising and stuff, it cost money to film the podcast and stuff. And so we put out this book, and it sold, like, loads of copies.
Really?
You can still buy it. and then a proper publisher came along and said, do a proper one as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So this is the original. How long have we got? 3 minutes. So I won't ask you, where do you stand on transubstantiation? That is question 85. Tell you what's a good thing to do. Buy 20. If you're getting married, buy 20 of these, put one on each of the tables that you're married.
Is this what you do in every podcast? You just sell things?
No, I just thought I'd say that. Someone told me that a few people have bought like loads of copies and put them on a table at the wedding. It's such a good idea. Especially because I've got about... probably 8,000 of these in my garage. So if you come and make me an offer, you know, I'll give you a box. Right, we'll do one more. It's interesting just to go in at random, but sometimes they're not as good. I don't think I've asked this one. It's not a good question. Would you rather have a clitoris in the crook between your thumb and finger or have a bionic nose? I don't know if you're aware of Steve Austin, the $6 Million Man, because you're too young, but you know what bionics are, right? So you'd be able to smell stuff a long way away.
I absolutely hate smelling stuff.
Do you? Okay.
Bad stuff.
Right.
My clitoris is in my hand.
The clitoris is sort of there, just between there. I mean, no, it's an extra one, I think. I don't think they move. I'm not saying let's move your clitoris.
What's bad about that, though?
Nothing. It's
quite kind of fun.
Yeah, it's great. Well, it's a bit on show, isn't it? People would know what you're up to. I mean, I'd rather have the clitoris, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, yeah, clitoris, a cervix, a ball. Yeah. You've got it all, yeah.
I've got the lot.
Yeah, I think definitely I'd love to have a little clitoris in my hands. Okay. It'd be so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, just take it around with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
you'd have to be in your hand, so yeah.
Yeah, I'd wear a glove, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Just one glove.
You think that's what Michael Jackson was up to?
I think so. I think maybe.
I mean, if you had that much money, you'd do it, wouldn't you? I mean, if I had that much money, I'd go, yeah, fucking give it a go.
Yeah,
science.
Nice.
They must be able to do it, mustn't they? I mean, they'd have to transplant it, but you just get a clitoris off a dead person.
Oh, I don't want
I'm not saying take a living person's clitoris. Someone dies.
I don't want someone else's to get your grandstand. No.
She'd donate it.
No.
Stick it in there.
No, but then are they feeling it?
That's the big question. That's what's so exciting. Is your dead gran feeling you touching up her clitoris? You're disgusting, Harriet. You've imagined your parents dressing up as medieval Frenchmen fucking each other. Have you imagined your grandmother?
My grandma's alive.
Got some news for you. Your family didn't know how to break this to you, so they said, could you somehow bring up the idea of transplanting a dead grandmother's clitoris onto a hand? Say, you can have it now. It can happen now.
I'm just going to go with nose.
Okay. Bionic nose, imagine that. Can smell a thing a long way away. Have you ever watched Encanto? Have you seen the film Encanto?
Yeah, yeah.
The sister who can hear things a long way away, that's got to be much more annoying than they make out in the film. She can hear like a mile away, she can hear like a pin drop or whatever. She can hear Bruno scuffling around the wall, she doesn't know what it is.
Yes,
so, spoiler alert. She does say it very quietly in one of the songs. But
I think that would be very annoying.
Yeah. Because how would you be able to hear everything that's happening within... They haven't thought it through. It's terrible.
They haven't thought it through. Yeah, I think that's bad. I'd like to hear less, if anything.
Yeah. Well, just get older. Luckily, I hardly can hear anything. I don't even know what you've been saying. I've just been guessing. I've been looking at your face trying to guess where I should speak. That's why some of the stuff's probably seemed a bit incongruous and weird today. I don't know what it's about Winchester, but I come up with some really weird shit in this. Were you here for the John Kearns one? That was nuts. Fucking hell, there's something weird about this theatre. Could be, there might be a ghost. Might be a ghost making me say. Was Michael Jackson in that one as well? I don't know, can't remember. An hour's gone by very, very fast. It's ridiculous. We've hardly touched the surface of...
The clitoris.
We've hardly even started massaging that clitoris. can people see you? You're doing gigs still, but you're not touring a show at the moment. Where can they see your live?
Yes, my show is coming out online in October. And so if you follow me on Instagram at Harriet Kemsley, all the information will be there. Good.
Do a lot of people call you Harriet Kelmsley?
Yes, but why?
I don't know. I really had to...
Everyone thinks it's Kelmsley, but there's no Kelmsley. So what is happening?
I don't know. I just really had to practice harder than I have with anyone in my life.
You don't know a Kelmsley,
no.
Do you?
And it doesn't make sense. Kelmsley doesn't make sense.
No.
Kemsley doesn't make sense either. Yeah. It is your name.
It is my name.
So Kemsley.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Look, Google that. It's absolutely fantastic to talk to you. You're such a fantastic comedian, and I'm sure you're going to go on to much, much more great stuff in the future.
Richard.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with next. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up. The amazing Harriet Kemsley. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Harriet Kemsley. Thank you to Scant Regard for this beautiful melodic music. Even though I don't like music, I love this. I'm indebted to Chris Evans, not that one or that one, and Ben Evans, not that one as well. Thank you to George Lingford for his hard work through illness to record this show. If it's not recorded well, give him a break. Thank you to everyone at the Winchester Theatre Royal for looking after me royally. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.